Amen. All right. Well, I had an idea that as we close this series, you know, last week we talked about how you should think about who you should date. And I had this idea as I was sitting over here. I was like, you know what? I'll bet everybody, just like Sunday school and just like church, I'll bet you guys sit in the same area of the room every Tuesday night. Am I right? You probably have your section and your row. So maybe next week, go meet somebody new in a different section in a different row. And maybe you'll find that who that we talked about last week, all right? Let's just mix it up a little bit. So we're gonna close out our series. The title of this series, this is your first week. I'm sorry you're on the last week, but it's simply dating for a lifetime. Because we grow up in a culture that says, hey, date for a good time. Get married for a good time. Date somebody that is just gonna be really fun and good times all the time. And I think that the whole heart of this series is, no, we want you to date for a lifetime. All right, meaning let's have more than just the weekend in mind when we're choosing, when we figure out how we should do this, when we should date, all those things. And so this whole series has been wrapped around this idea of let's have a mindset of dating for a lifetime. Because it doesn't stop. Well, if you get married someday, guess what? Your spouse is still gonna wanna date you. They're still gonna wanna be pursued. All those things don't just stop. All right, we are humans. We want to be loved and cared for. That's why vows say, I will love you and cherish you, you know, no matter what. Rich or poor, sickness and in health, I'm gonna pursue you, love you, cherish you. And so if you weren't here last week, well, last week, again, we talked about how we should think about who you should date. Now, full disclosure, I opened my iPad a minute ago in the back and realized I only have 20% battery, so we're not going that long tonight, all right? But here's where I want to start. Here's a list of words that I think really describe well one of my favorite pastimes. This is going to be a little bit weird, but one of my favorite pastimes, and this is a way that I can love and serve my wife, is calling customer service for her. She does not want to do that, never has, never will. Anxiety goes high. I enjoy it, especially when I know I'm right. Because you can go in there with a confidence and an aggression that you don't ever have to meet that person. You're just like, I'm right, so let's make this right. So but here's how I would describe most of what I experience, all right? I feel like I'm getting the runaround when I call customer service. When you're on hold, you're being transferred, and then somehow the transfer hangs up and you gotta call back and start all over again, right? It seems like there's no one actually thinking about how this process is going to go other than they just don't wanna give you what you're calling for, whether that's insurance or a refund or like they're holding on to their stuff and you're trying to get their stuff. And as I thought about this this idea of why is it so difficult, here's how I came up with this list and I got this idea. I looked back at a focus group we had a year ago. Before we did our dating series a year ago, I met with about 15 young ladies from this room and about 15 guys in two separate meetings. And I asked them, like, give me one word to describe the dating world today. Here are the top responses, or the most. These were the first words out of the mouths of both the guys and the girls. Misleading, unclear, deceptive, confusing, messy, flaky, and non-committal. And I'm like, that reminds me of customer service. Customer service is misleading. They are flaky, they're deceptive, and it's confusing. And I'm like, so what I'm saying is, dating feels like calling customer service. Everybody's like, I gotta do it. Don't want to. I don't wanna have to go through this process. But as I looked through the rest of the list, and we asked them a bunch of questions last year, and what it dawned on me as I looked through, like we said, hey, ladies, what do the guys need to hear? Ladies, what bothers you the most? Fellas, what do the girls need to hear about a guy's perspective? And when I started to narrow all the categories and answers down, really it came down to one particular thing, and that is, how do you date? All the frustrations that were listed, all the answers, most of them, not all of them, most of them came down to someone has dated me in such a way that's made it really hurtful. It's felt flaky. It's felt confusing because we don't know what we're doing. Now, I can't go on your next date with you and like whisper in your ear, right? We're not gonna put a little earpiece in. I haven't dated in a long time. I don't know what's going on out there. And so we're gonna stick with our theme and we're gonna find biblical principles that can help shape how we actually go about dating. So we've talked about being single. We've talked about when should you date, maybe when should you not date. And then last week we talked about who, the kind of character we should be looking for. So tonight we're gonna talk about how to date. And when I come to this idea, I always come back to one verse. Well, actually it's two verses in one location. It's John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus is telling his disciples the final things. This is like his last time with them. And he gives them this instruction. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And by the way that you love one another, everyone will know you are my disciples. And so what he does there is he gives them a bit of a formula. He gives them a command, love one another. And then he says, but do it not how you want to do it or how you feel like doing it. He says, do it as I have loved you. He says, imitate my love for you. And at this point, they don't know what that looks like yet. They're about to find out. This is before the cross. And so what is Jesus saying? He's saying, love one another self-sacrificially. Take yourself off of the throne, move to the side, and put the other's care needs above your own. And he says, when you do this, when you love like I have loved you, everyone around you will recognize that looks way different than everybody else. And they will know you are my disciples. Here's what this means. It means that the way that we as believers should date, the way that we believers should interact just in friendship should look so radically different than the way that our culture does it that people have no other reasoning than, man, they must follow Jesus. Because the fruit of your relationship, the fruit of your attitude, the fruit of your interactions, the fruit of the how looks a lot like the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But there's one verse that comes from this idea. So John 13 is the skeleton, okay? It's the bones. Love as I have loved you. So then how do we do that, Jesus? They're called the one another's. All throughout the New Testament, I believe there's 36 of them. There's an instruction followed by the term one another. So love one another. Serve one another, care for one another. But one particular is what I wanna camp out on tonight that's gonna be our thread throughout this evening. It is Romans 12:10. When it comes to how should we date? How should we interact with the opposite sex? How should we break up well? How should we ask them out? How should we treat them? What, like all the how stuff, Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10, this is what Paul says. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Take the lead in honoring one another. The ESV version says outdo one another in showing honor. The NIV says honor one another above yourselves. I think we get the point. Paul is saying as brother, because here's the deal. You're not boyfriend, girlfriend. You are brothers and sisters in Christ first and foremost. Our identity is not as boyfriend or girlfriend. It is a child of God. That gentlemen, would you ask out a girl who is a fellow follower of Jesus? You are asking out your sister in Christ and vice versa. And so Paul is saying as brothers and sisters, love one another deeply. What does that love look like? It looks like an honor. You honor them above yourself. You outdo. He turns it into a competition. Outdo one another. in showing honor. The culture's way is the opposite. The culture says in order to get intimacy, in order to feel intimacy, we're going to use someone so that we can get that feeling. God's way says, no, love as I have loved you. Honor one another above yourself. It's self-sacrificial. So I'm gonna give you four things tonight, four principles on how to date. This is, again, not exhaustive. We do not have a time, and I'm down to 19%. So we gotta get going here, all right? Number one, how to date? You start prayerfully and patiently. Start the process with prayer and patience. In Ephesians chapter 6, this is in the armor of God. This is the spiritual warfare, all right? In verse 18, Paul writes this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. What is he saying? That prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a protection. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. You see, we gotta start somewhere in this process. And I would argue the best place to start this process of how to date is prayerfully. Asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. Because what prayer does is a couple things. One is it transfers trust from ourselves to the Lord, saying, this is what I'm worried about, Lord. And instead of holding it here, I'm going to hand it over and say, God, this is what I want to talk to you about. I have anxiety, I have fears, I have wounds around this topic of relationship. I have fears that keep me up at night. And so, Lord, I'm gonna trust you with it by bringing it to you in prayer. It is an active move of trusting God when we start with prayer. Secondly, what prayer does is it invites God into the process. So many of us live in so much anxiety because we're just, all we have is us and our own thoughts and our own ideas and our lack of creativity. And we're like, oh man, I'm screwed, right? But this invites God into the process. God, help me. It's that Psalm 25 prayer. God, help me, guide me, show me, and lead me. And so it's a protection, and it also invites God into the process. 1 Peter 5:7, Peter writes this, cast all your anxieties on him. What does cast them mean? It means go to him in prayer. If I cast my anxieties on my wife, what do you think that means? I'm going to talk to her about it. I'm gonna throw it out there to her to help her help me process my anxiety. So cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. He's not frustrated by you. He's not annoyed by you. He cares for you. So why would we not do this? And then we move patiently. 1 Timothy 5:24 says, the sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. What does he mean? He means sometimes you hang out with somebody for 5 minutes, you're like, they're bad news. Like it's obvious. You're like, nope. But he says, but sins of others appear later. Meaning they can put on a good facade. They can play the game of Christian. They can say the right things, but you give them enough time and the character will reveal itself. And so we date patiently. We don't, like, I've seen so many relationships, they start off like rocket fuel. Like, I found my person, and after a month, they spent every weekend, every evening together. And you know what ends up happening? Is it crashes and burns just as fast. They're not patient. They put all of their chips in one bank and then gone. Because some folks are just bad apples, right? Some people are just not who they say they are. Like we talked about last week. Who should you date? You should date someone who is submitted to Christ. Obedient, following Jesus, pursuing a relationship with Christ when they're not just dating you. Anyone can come into this room. Anyone can go to church, but are they pursuing Jesus? What is the foundation of their life? And sometimes it takes time to figure that out. See them in different circumstances, watch them through different seasons, see how they deal with conflict, watch how they deal with disappointment. So how do we date? Prayerfully and patiently. Number two, by providing consistent clarity. How do we date? By providing consistent clarity. Go back to this list that I read earlier. Misleading, unclear, confusing, messy, flaky. Where do those all come from? Lack of clarity. They all come from a lack of clarity. 1 Corinthians 14:33, Paul writes this, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." Clarity brings peace. You know where you stand. Like there's all these terms nowadays. It just makes me feel old. That's all it does. Situationships, flirtationships. All I hear as the old man is like, that's just ambiguity. That is just riddled with anxiety because no one knows who's playing what game. I mean, it feels good, right? But it doesn't bring clarity. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people will perish." This is modern day dating. When there is no clarity, when there is no direction, people perish. There's fear. Relationships die for a lack of it. Like this is define the relationship mentality. Like we need to have a talk. We need to bring some clarity. That's all that is let's bring some clarity. Where are you? Where am I? Where are we going? What is this? And I'll be honest. I want to be vulnerable here. If Taylor were up here, my wife were up here, she would be laughing at me right now. I was terrible at this. If you were here last year, we did the Q&A, she was just giving me the business because every time she tried to get clarity, I would shut it down. It's like, so, you know, where do you thinking we're going? I'm like, oh, we're not talking future things. That's what I would say. I'm like, I'm not talking about the future. Let's just enjoy right now. Because I had no idea what I was doing. But as I've learned and grown and watched other relationships, clarity is important. It's important in marriage, so it's important in dating. To be clear and communicate. Because you've probably all heard the phrase, clarity is kind. And I believe that with all of my heart. But you know what also is true? Is that ambiguity produces anxiety and confusion. It just does. It just does. Both people in a relationship are putting themselves in a vulnerable position. And it's like we're jockeying for power. Guys, we feel this. You ask a girl out, you're literally putting your head on the chopping block. And you're handing them the axe, right? That's what it feels like. You're putting all of your pride, all of your your manliness and bravado, and you're saying, please don't kill me. You know, that's what it feels like. There's vulnerability on both sides. Ladies, if you say yes or no, you feel vulnerable. It's like, you're putting me in a position I was not prepared for. I was not prepared to crush your heart tonight, right? And so there's a vulnerability here. That's why clarity is so honoring, to bring clarity of intention, clarity of expectation, clarity of what is this? One thing I say every year I do a talk like this is, gentlemen, ask her on a date not to hang out. Hanging out is ambiguous. They're like, what are we bros now? What is this? No girl wants to be in the bro column. So just ask her out, let me be clear. I've really enjoyed getting to know you, the little interaction we've had, so I would love to take you on a date for coffee. Clear. You're interested in her. It's a coffee. It's not a whole date, right? Just simple things. Just ask yourself, how can I bring clarity? Ladies, on the other hand, be clear if there's a no, be clear why. Don't blame it on God, okay? That does a lot of damage to us. That hit close to home for somebody, all right. But that can do a lot of damage. I remember when I got broken up with, when I was in college and she blamed God. You know what it made me mad about? At her and God. So let's just say, hey, listen, I just don't see anything going on here. My feelings just aren't there. I'm honored that you'd ask me out, but you know what? I don't think so. Clear. Honoring. You don't have to lie. You don't have to ghost. You don't have to delay. Clarity does not also mean intensity. You can be intentional without being intense. Gentlemen, no person in here is a formula. That if A plus B equals, if you are honoring and clear, they will say yes. That's not true. So hold it with some discernment. Be patient in the clarity. So I want to give you three areas of clarification in a relationship. It's really simple. It's at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. You need clarity. Everybody in the room needs clarity in these places. In the beginning, what are we doing? Are we going on a date? Should there be a second date? Like, I would suggest at the end of a date, there should always be some sort of clarifying comment or phrase. Hey, I had a great time tonight. I will call you tomorrow. Or maybe you guys don't call each other. I will text you tomorrow. Right? What'd you just say? I had fun. I enjoyed our time together. And you are going to hear from me soon. So you don't have to worry about when you're going to hear from me. I will call you tomorrow. I'll text you tomorrow. Right? Or, hey, I enjoy getting to know you, but I'm just not sure another date's in the cards here, but I really enjoyed hanging out. You know, like, just bring clarity. And I know it's easier said than done, all right? But in the beginning, there needs to be clarity. In the middle, as it progresses, one way or the other, we need clarity. I think one of the hardest things that I hear when people are dating in our ministry or that I've just known in my life is when two people are holding all the cards to themselves. And what ends up happening, this is not the intention, but what ends up happening is there's a dishonoring thing to the other person because it very quickly moves to manipulation. This is where ghosting comes from. This is where like that slow drift into oblivion comes from. Because we're not clear. That's why we have to have a phrase like an RDT or DTR, whatever we want to call it. Because we can't do it. So we have to make this big deal. Like we're having to talk tonight. Instead of just consistently throughout, let's just make sure we're clear where we're at. Where, how are you feeling? If you ask somebody out, here's an interesting thought. If you ask someone out and they go out with you, you've asked them, you've given them an on-ramp to the relationship. Why would we not be clear about giving them an off-ramp? Like, hey, if at any point in this relationship, if you're not feeling it, just let me know. I'm cool. My hope is that God is good and he loves you and he loves me. And if this doesn't work out, I'll be all right. Clarity. You've given them an off-ramp, so now they don't feel like I'm going to destroy you, right? And then we hold on to it too long. So in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end, and let me just give this caveat. There's a really good chance they will not do this well. Because this is, breaking up is hard, but there needs to be clarity of why it's happening, where, how you got to this point. Because at the end of the day, guys and gals, if we don't bring clarity to a relationship, really all we're doing is protecting ourselves. And that is a terrible habit to get into if your hope is for marriage. If you're about protecting yourself at all costs. So practice the qualities that you want to bring into your marriage. So how you date is important by honoring one another, by bringing clarity. Number three, how to date with self-control. Prayerfully, patiently, with clarity. Next is with self-control. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 5, and 6, the Apostle Paul writes, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It, love, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I underlined all those words because they describe an aspect of self-control. Patience is waiting and being okay while you're waiting. Dishonoring others, not self-seeking. When I'm not self-disciplined, I'm self-seeking. It always protects. Galatians 5, we talked a little bit about this last week about the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. That if we are that potted plant, if we're planted in God's word, living out God's ways, the fruit of your life, you should see an increase in self-control. That's what the Holy Spirit is producing in us. And this goes both ways. Because really when we're talking about self-control and dating, the most hurtful, the most wound-easy thing is sexual intimacy. And that requires self-control. Because guys, God made us the way he made us. Men are attracted to women, women attracted to our men. Like this is part of why we date. And this is by far the conversations that I have with young adults over the last decade. Physical and sexual intimacy in dating causes the deepest wounds more than anything else. And usually it comes because of a lack of self-control. We find ourselves in a moment and we just make decisions and we do things that we're like, I know I shouldn't, but I really want to. And that's why I go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 6, 4, 5 and 6. It does not dishonor others. Love does not dishonor others. It is honoring to have boundaries. It is honoring. One of the things that hurt my heart the most in this ministry was about when I first did this series. I did a focus group because I'm like, I haven't dated in a long time. I need to know what you're thinking. And you know what the ladies told me? Almost across the board is they say that non-Christians are more honoring of my boundaries than Christians. Gentlemen, that cannot be. It cannot be that men who do not follow Jesus are more self-controlled with their sexual appetites with our Christian sisters than Christian brothers. Self-control. We have to pursue and date with self-control. And that doesn't come just from you gritting your teeth and being like, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. It is abiding and marinating in God's word and God's ways and letting the Holy Spirit develop it in you, that it's actually what you want. That's crazy. But that's what happens, is that we want self-control because we want to honor the person we are with. We want to honor our brother in Christ. We want to honor our sister in Christ more than we want to get physical intimacy. They will be here one moment and gone the next, and the regrets will follow us for a lifetime. Love does not push for compromise, but patiently waits, honors, and always protects. On the other hand, lust is impatient. It pushes for compromise. It dishonors and actually uses people instead of honors our brother and sister in Christ. Hebrews 13:4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all. And let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. You see, God created sex. He made all the parts. And he has a perfect intention for it. And it's in a covenant committed relationship in marriage. And what we do is we buy the line of our culture that says, you know what, the most important thing about you is your sexuality. And you will not experience life without experiencing sexual pleasure. And what I'm telling you is that's not true. It's just not true. Is it a good gift from God? Yes, it is. But just like the fire in my fireplace is wonderful, if it's outside of the designed area for it, it is nothing but destructive. In the fireplace, it is beautiful and it is warm and it serves a wonderful purpose. But if that fire gets outside of the fireplace, God's intention for you as a woman, God's intention for you as a man, it will bring nothing but destruction. Shame, guilt, regret, all for a few minutes. And I'm just telling you, as Christians, as those surrendered to Christ, we are to humble ourselves and say, God, what you want is more and better than what I want. And so I'm going to honor my brother. I'm going to honor my sister. And I'm going to date them in a way that brings glory to you. Lastly, number four, how to date. I want to encourage you to date in community, all right? Now, this sounds kind of weird, but Proverbs 11:14 says this, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. What ends up happening is we tend to find that person, and we kind of pair off on our own. And it's just us because we're so excited and it feels so good to be liked. But over and over, the wisdom of Solomon in the book of Proverbs talks about the security and safety of counsel, of wise, godly counsel. So I want to encourage you to date in the open. Get the person you're dating in front of your people. We talked about this last week. Dating is a new thing in the last 100 years. Before that, it was courting, where it was all done in front of the family in the family living room. So there was a lot of security and safety specifically for the young ladies. And that's kind of gone now. You just leave. Like, that's why I have my daughter's location on my phone at all times. Like, it's a security thing. I want to know where she's at. And I want to know who she's with. And if I've already told her, if some guy wants to ask you out, he needs to ask me first. She doesn't like that, but that's just the way it's going to be. Because I want to protect my daughter. And so as we do this, we need to have that community around us. Because as I said before, infatuation does weird things to our judgment. When we're in that warm and fuzzy place, if somebody likes me, our judgment, it's like this morning I woke up driving to work and it was foggy. I had to slow down. Same thing in dating. We need to slow down. Let's push the gas pedal. And sometimes the best thing we can do is surround ourselves with people who are willing to push the brake pedal for us. Say, hey, whoa. Proverbs 24:6, in abundance of counselors, there is victory. And so when it comes to community, I'm talking trusted family members, trusted friends, people that want your good more than anything else for you. They want it to go well for you. So here's the struggle though, is we are fiercely independent. I want to encourage you to contemplate and pray about inviting other people to speak into your dating life. Don't just assume that they will. We are too nice to each other. Say, hey, friend, we've been friends for a long time. Would you just kind of keep an eye on this relationship? Would you ask me these 3 or 4 questions every time we go on a date? Would you just invite them in? Invite counselors in, trusted people who want the same thing you want. They love the Lord. They want your best. They want to glorify God. They want your relationship to point people to Jesus. And so invite them in. Community provides counsel. It provides encouragement, both good and bad. And it provides accountability. By ourselves, I don't know about you, but I don't like counseling myself. I always want to run it past somebody else for security. I want to make sure I'm seeing it right. Encouragement, hey, I want to encourage you to slow down. I see some things. I've watched them and I've seen how they interact or treat people. Like, maybe you should slow down. Or, hey, all I'm seeing is green flags. Let's go. Say yes to that guy. Say yes to that girl. Like, yeah, I've seen them. They're fantastic. Sometimes we need that encouragement. So as I close, here's where we've been. How should we date? Prayerfully and patiently, with clarity, with self-control, and in community. If you don't have community, man, we've got plenty of community for you. We got gathered groups, we got small groups, we got Sunday school class every week. We would love to help foster that for you if that's something you're looking for. So what do we do tonight? I wanna offer you several things. Number one, first and foremost, pursue the Lord before you pursue his people. Pursue him. Find your identity and security and hope in Christ, trusting him that he's got you along the way. So pursue God before you pursue his creation. Number two, I wanna encourage you to shift that perspective on dating to not what can I get from someone, but how can I honor them? How can I deeply love my brother and sister in Christ and outdo them in showing honor? Number three, and number four are questions. Do you need to get or give clarity in whatever season you're in a relationship? If you've been holding the cards, maybe it's time for you to give some clarity to honor that person. Or maybe you're like, hey, I'm not getting it, so you need to ask. Like, hey, could we talk? I would like to get some clarity on where we're at. Where is this going? Does it need to continue? Does it need to end? Stop ghosting people that is not honoring to them. And then lastly, as you think about this topic, would you be willing to continually and faithfully invite God into the process? Would you prayerfully invite God in? And this may be an everyday thing for you because the fear of being alone forever is so there that daily you're asking God to be with you, to quiet your anxiety and help you trust him. Because that's what really what's driving a lot of the mistakes we make in dating is fear. We move too fast out of fear. We hold on too long out of fear. We put up with stuff we shouldn't out of fear. But God's word says he has not given you, the child of God, he has not given you a spirit of fear. He's giving you a spirit of power. And so let's tap into the Holy Spirit as we work this system of dating that we have, inviting him in. Sorry, I missed number four. Is there an apology that needs to be offered? Maybe you're in a relationship. Maybe you have a past relationship where boundaries were not honored. Emotions were not honored. And maybe there needs to be an apology that says, hey, I need to say I'm sorry and I need to ask your forgiveness for the way that I handled that. We are called to be humble people because we serve a humble Savior who honored us on the cross. He outdid us in showing honor. He knew our biggest need and he met it on the cross. And now he invites you and I to walk with him through this life, honoring one another along the way. So we're gonna leave these on the screen, let you pray through these for our 120 seconds and maybe just ask the Holy Spirit to guide your prayer time. And then we'll finish up with another worship song before we get to our panel. Let's pray. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for bringing each person here, Lord. I just believe, God, that the way you work is not by accident. And that every person here tonight, and every person watching online is listening for a reason. That you brought them here tonight to hear something, to remind them of the truths of the songs we sing, of who you are and what you're doing, that you are King. Holy Spirit, would you quiet our anxious thoughts? Would you help us? Would you advocate for us to trust you with this area of our lives, the dating relationship? God, would you help us to honor one another as brothers and sisters in Christ? That our interactions with people would leave them better, more encouraged than when we met them. God, we thank you that you have loved us and you've honored us when we deserve no honor. That you have saved us when we need rescuing. And so God, as we worship you tonight, would you speak to us as we pray? In your son's name, amen.